Yeah, the Fratellis there and Chelsea Dagger, and that's one of those songs that ends very, very suddenly and catches you on the hop. Now I want to welcome into the studio Dennis McIntyre. And Dennis, I have you down here as Clontarf Area Tourism, but you're also hugely involved with the Bram Stoker Museum. So will you just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yeah, well, just when you mentioned those two, we've actually all come together now under the umbrella name Clontarf Tourism. Now when I say all, I mean the Bram Stoker organisation, and we're an old Clontarf Heritage Society, so we all operate under Clontarf Tourism. As regards myself, well, I'm in Clontarf, I don't like saying it, but 41 years now. Yeah. I became tremendously interested in the area. I literally love the area with the sea and St. Anne's Park and all the historical aspects. I was a teacher in Belgrave School for 25 years, and during that time I did a lot of local projects with children, projects on the churches, the other buildings, the happenings, the personalities of the area. So I eventually put a book together and published it, the Meadow of the Bull, the History of Clontarf.
Yep.
Now, since then, I've always felt, that was back in the 20 years ago now, when I first started, I've always felt that the area has been undersold as a tourism centre. You know, it's one of the most historic areas in the country, and I'll explain what I mean by that. You know, every era in our history had a Clontarf connection, starting with, say, the old graveyard with the church ruin that represents the coming of Christianity. You had, of course, you don't need to be told, Brian Boru and the Vikings, that covered that era. The castle covered the Norman era and Cromwell, indeed. And down through the years after that, you had Daniel O'Connell and the monster meeting that never happened. You had the escape of James the Fenian James Stevens, arranged by a Clontarf man, Captain Weldon, right down to the very historic happening next year, the centenary of the 1916, which was in fact decided, the IRB Supreme Council decided to go ahead with 1916 at a meeting in Clontarf Hall on January 16, 1916. So all of this thing endeared me to Clontarf, and our aim at the moment is to open some kind of a tourist information heritage centre.
So it's full of all the different aspects of the history of Clontarf.
It is, and added to that then are extras, such as, I mean, there's a beautiful promenade there, the Bull Island, a unique island, a UNESCO reserve, a bird sanctuary. You know, where would you find the likes within, you know,
within an area the size of
Clontarf? Well, so close to a city centre, and then you have places like the casino. Fabulous, you know, an architectural gem, and there's so much going on. The Guinness family in St. Anne's Park, fabulous place, and the famous Red Stables.
Yeah, and the Red Stables now, what are the Red Stables been used at
well, the a moment? Very good question, and a very pertinent one at the moment, because Clontarf Tourism are in the process of applying to Dublin City Council, or the powers that be, the Parks Department, whoever decides this, to make our base there. Now, I think it would fit in wonderfully. And first of all, you could develop the sort of the history and all aspects of the park itself and the Guinness connection and so on. And then we'd include, you know, we have the hard work, if you like, the collecting and the research done. And we would have lots of, you know, memorabilia, maps, pictures, you know, on display there in a possible centre.
And you're looking for a permanent fixture for
Yes. You see, I think the day of tourism, you know, being seasonal is gone.
Yeah.
And we better think bigger than that. Now, you mentioned Bram Stoker there earlier. People said to me at Halloween, oh, shush, you know, it must be great for you at Halloween. Now, I don't like that. First of all, Bram Stoker is not in any way associated
with
Halloween.
Halloween.
Well, okay, there's the darkness and that.
Yeah.
We want to see a year-round tourism trade. And then you have the other aspects of cultural tourism. And I'd be very much in line with the thinking in Fáilte Island and the City Council at the moment to what they call now Dublin a breath of fresh air. In other words, to get the tourists out from the city centre. I'm nothing against our city centre at all. But to get out to the suburbs and to the coastal regions and that. And that's where we come in absolutely ideally.
Yeah, and Bram Stoker would be a huge draw, and it'd be a great introduction to the other history of Clontarf.
Well, you know, I have an old friend in New York, Dr. Jean Youngson, and she's been running a Bram Stoker fan club since 1965. But I first met her in the mid-80s, I suppose. And if you ever got a kick in the pants from somebody, I got it from her. She more or less said, "What are ye Irish doing? Yeah. Here's a guy who has written the biggest selling novel ever written. You know, and comes from this area, and nobody knows him. And to this day, if you walk down O'Connell Street or any other street and ask 10 people who is Bram Stoker, you'll be lucky if one of them can tell you, or at least where he comes from, or whatever.
Yeah, well, we'd be all very acquainted with him.
About. Yeah. Only when ourselves came on the scene, when I started this. And if you look at Dublin, and I'm delighted, but if you look at Dublin at Halloween now, you have festivals all over the place related to Bram Stoker. You checked the calendar 20 years ago, and there wasn't a single one.
Yeah.
Until we highlighted and won him back for Ireland, because people thought he was British or he was Romanian or European or whatever. He wasn't. And he was 31 years old before he left Dublin.
And films based on the book are made every other year, aren't they?
They are. There's a million films. In fact, Hollywood tell us now they can trace at least 1,000 major films in some way inspired by that book. And you can take it that practically everything Gothic or horror since the book is based
stemmed in some way by that.
It's influenced on the cinema, the theatre, the performing arts. It's simply incalculable. And yet we haven't a single street, a single anything called after Bram Stoker. In Dublin.
Now, I spoke to you a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, about the setting up of the Bram Stoker Museum. I don't want to just talk about Bram Stoker, because there's a lot more involved with Clontarf than Bram Stoker, but setting up the Bram Stoker Museum. And that was based in Fairview. Now, is that...
Yeah, well I wouldn't like to go into that too much, because there were problems with planning permission with that building, so that is no longer there.
So
what we do now is we have historical Bram Stoker walks and talks, and we do our shows, anything on Bram Stoker, in the beautiful, homely Viking Theatre. That's where we're based now. Mm. It's part of the Sheds, well-known Sheds Public House upstairs. So that's where we do our Bram Stoker shows, plus the walks. And, we cooperate at Halloween, as mentioned, with the City Council, who run a bigger show in around the city centre.
And the house, what about the house? Has that been...
Well, sadly, the house went on sale only about 18 months ago.
Yeah.
And we looked everywhere to try to get funds to buy it. It's number 15, the Crescent. Those of you who know Clontarf well, it's a beautiful, quaint little street that joins the seafront end of the Malahide and Howth Roads. But we tried our best to get the funds to... And it wasn't that much. It was only half a million-ish. But sadly, it slipped us by, and it's in private ownership now.
So where are you? Are we along the road now with the Heritage Centre, say, for instance, setting that up?
Well, where we are now is that, as far as I'm concerned, the hard work is done. That's the first thing, because you cannot ask for anything or look for anything unless you have done your homework first. So, we've published the history of Clontarf. We have a room full of memorabilia. What I have in mind is something, a smaller version, obviously, of the Little Museum of Dublin on St. Stephen's Green. It's a
wonderful
concept, and so simple. Yep. You know, people say, oh, you want a building with this, that, and the other. I don't. Look at that. The wall is just lined with photographs, beautiful framed photographs and other artefacts and memorabilia. That's all you want. I don't want any, fancy stuff, whatever. So a room in St. Anne's, we're applying. In the Red Stables in St. Anne's. We have applied. We're looking for getting the support. Now, in fairness, the North Area Committee met here the other night, and I'm not officially informed yet, but I understand they passed a motion in favour of asking the City Council generally to help us achieve a home, a centre, a venue, or whatever.
Yeah, that'd be great if that came to pass.
As my years go by in Clontarf, my own wish might be a very... at this stage, I would love to see out my last years, and I have no notion of kicking the bucket yet for a while, but in charge of such a place. And, when the visitor comes to Clontarf, there's so much on, so much to see, but they don't know. So, when you live in an area, you assume everybody knows. Even the locals don't know sometimes. So we'd like you, if you come as a visitor, come into us. We'll tell you about the area, its history. You can look at it, even research it, and then we'll tell you what's on locally and where to go and what's worth it, and be it entertainment or food or whatever.
So tell us a little bit about the memorabilia that you were talking about that you have. Would it be photographs and...
Yes. Probably the most in dear possession we have is there's an old building in Clontarf which will be very much in prominence now early next year. It's locally known as the old St. Anthony's Church Hall. It was Clontarf Town Hall. The most dear piece I have is an original photo of it. Its importance is this. It was built in 1894 as a town hall because Clontarf wasn't part of Dublin City then, like Rathmines and other areas. But 1900 brought the Boundaries Act, and it amalgamated Clontarf into the city. And this hall was left more or less, you know, with no purpose. So the Catholic Church bought it in 1927 and turned it into a church with the well-known and familiar cut-stone frontage. Now, it was there that the IRB, and I'm talking about Pádraig Pearse and MacDonagh and Kent, the whole lot of them, used to meet secretly. One of the main reasons they came there was Arthur Griffith, the head of Sinn Féin, lived on Lawrence's Road. And the caretakers of the place were the McGinn family from Dungannon in County Tyrone. That's the hometown of Tom Clark, who everybody knows was the real leader in 1916. So we have... You asked me what we had with memorabilia and all that, and that to me is very precious. And we'll be doing a show for anybody interested. When I say a show, a documentary or a PowerPoint presentation on that whole era, that particular weekend, it was the 16th of January that the actual meeting took place, 100 years ago, next January, the 16th. Now, beyond that, you asked me what we have. Well, you know, we have literally reams of photos of memorabilia on the castle, the Bull Island, the Guinnesses, of course, and the Red Stables and all that. The casino, Lord Charlemont, you know, it's fabulous stuff.
I only passed, actually, the casino last night, and I was looking, it was all lit up.
Yeah.
It's absolutely beautiful.
It's beautiful. And a lot of people still don't know. It looks from the road something like, you know, a doll's house or whatever.
Yeah.
There are 17 rooms in the casino. And, you know, it has unique features. For example, when you look at it first, you say, it has no chimneys, it has no drain pipes. It has, you know. The drain pipes are The columns are hollow in the middle, and those are the drain pipes. And there's two urns on the roof. Those are kind of secret chimneys, you know.
Yes, very smart bit of architecture.
Very smart from the time. Yeah. It's Doric architecture, and one of the most, you know, the finest existing examples of that in the world, anywhere. So, I mean, you have all that. I mean, the Crescent itself, that little road, the history of it, not just Bram Stoker, but... his wife actually came from there, Florence Malcolm, and those of you familiar with that story would know that Florence was courted by the one and only Oscar Wilde. You could say, look what she missed. But I'm not really an Oscar down because I'm a great fan of Oscar Wilde's writings, but as things turned out. And, you know, you had the great writer William Carleton. And later on, the famous Fianna Fáil Boland family lived in that same house. And there's a fabulous story about the Russian crown jewels, as in the real crown jewels. De Valera and Harry Boland, old Harry Boland, that would be Kevin Boland's grandfather, the government minister we all remember, who died himself a couple of years ago. Anyway, they were fundraising in America, and they met some of the Bolsheviks who were taking over in Russia, and the Bolsheviks weren't their fundraising wasn't going too well. So Dev and Boland lent them something like £20,000, whatever they found it at the time, getting the money in America, in return for the crown jewels and security. And those crown jewels were brought back, and they were hidden in that house. Now, remember, we were in the heart of this, this was about 1922 or that.
The Russian crown jewels.
The Russian crown, and they were downstairs in a fireplace, hidden, kind of a concealed fireplace. And they were there, when our first government was set up, the W.T. Cosgrove, Fine Gael, well, they weren't Fine Gael, they were Cumann na Gael then. And Dev knew about all this, that they were hidden there. When Dev came to power eventually in 1932, they recontacted the Russians. And after some time, a couple of years, the Russians bought the jewels back and they returned. So that crescent is loaded.
Yeah, that's also story.
That's also the spot, remember, where the famous Howth gun running, I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Yes.
When Enniskillen Children brought the rifles into Howth. And the volunteers marched down the Howth Road and they were confronted by the British. And then they went through the Crescent and the nearby Charlemont Road, but the Brits moved across to the Malahide Road, and that's where this melee happened. And, you know, there's so much history in the area.
Yeah, that's huge, and it's all very, very interesting. And
it's fabulous stuff, and you know, the trams, and, you know,
the like Fairview
Park.
Tram,
Fairview Park is totally reclaimed. And if you go just a little further down in Fairview and up Phillipsburg Avenue, Marino Park and House, the house is gone now, as is the park it's built on, and Father Matthew Park, which a lot of people mistake for Fairview Park. It's not Fairview Park. The volunteers and the ICA, that's the Irish Citizens Army, James Connolly's people, they did all their drilling there in those two parks. You know, so you couldn't go wrong for historical stuff.
Well, it'll be fantastic now if that comes to pass, that there is a heritage centre set up.
Well,
and contains all that. Is there anything that our listeners can do to help? Can they put? Is there anybody? Can we put pressure on anybody to?
Well, yeah. Anyone listening can talk to their local councillor, because most of the councillors are aware of it now, and to help us. Now, last night I was at a very interesting meeting in Clontarf Rugby Club, where there was a come together between Cluster and Clontarf. In this enterprise business. Now, it's run by Bank of Ireland, yep. And it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. Now, everyone there, including Bank of Ireland and the enterprise, are on board with us as well, because that's what they're there for. And we have a huge day for anyone marking their calendar coming up in Clontarf on the 5th of December. It's a Clontarf-Cluster open day, shall we call it, where all the local traders and that will have a little stall, and you can learn everything about the area and meet local traders and so on. And it's in St. Anthony's, the same famous hall that I'm talking about, where the 1916 meeting took place. So that's an occasion for anyone who wants to get to know the area. We'll be there ourselves, and if you want to know about Clontarf tourism or the history of Clontarf, I'll be there and delighted to talk to anybody.
That's Cluster and Clontarf.
Clontarf Enterprise is called, and yep. It's in St. Anthony's Hall, it's on the seafront, a well-known landmark, and it's at the 5th of December from 11 o'clock until 4.
Okay, well,
and Bank of Ireland, fair play, it's a great initiative, you know.
Yeah, and when we get near that date, we'll do something on that.
We'd love to. I'd love to.
Keep us updated about the Heritage Centre and how things are going.
I'm very hopeful, and I'm.
It sounds very positive.
If the parks manager happens to be listening, Wesley Moore, a fine man. I think the final decision is his, and I ask him, please come along with us.
Please, okay. Do, yeah. Listen, Dennis McIntyre, thank you very much for coming into
us. My pleasure.
And your knowledge of the area is fantastic.
Well, when you love an area, it's easy.
Yeah. Okay.